There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Welcome into College Football Live. Chris Budden joined with Trevor Maddich and Tom Luginbill, who will begin his stint of 48 hours of team no sleep until National Signing Day is over. And we'll get to National Signing Day in just a bit, but there is some news this afternoon as Iabi Anoma, linebacker out of the University of Alabama, has entered the transfer portal. Anoma was on the SEC All-Freshman list. He was also the star of last year's Signing Day. So, Luke, I want to start with you. It's not like this guy didn't play. He played in all 12 games. Granted, he didn't start. So what does this say about the players nowadays and the rush to want to transfer?
Compete. It's not going to be easy. Don't just show up on campus and think that it's all going to be rainbows and unicorns. Listen, Iabi Anoma was the premier pass rusher in last year's class. He is a physically talented young man. You know why he didn't play very much as a true freshman? Because he wasn't ready. Coaches have to be able to trust that you can handle all the other things that have nothing to do with physical ability. And quite frankly, Iabi Anoma wasn't there yet. That's not an indictment on him. That's not a negative appraisal of his ability level. He needs to just hang in there. You're at a place, Trevor, that's developing NFL caliber prospects. And after one season where you did play some, you up and just enter the transfer portal. I'd be pulling my hair out if I was college coaches across the country, and in particular here, Nick Saban.
Yeah, Tom, and I can see it with quarterbacks because there's only one position.
Sure.
If you see the roster stacked ahead of you and somebody else beats you out, you might not get on the field except for mop-up time. But other positions, there's all kinds of opportunity to play even if you don't start. On the offensive line, if there's another left tackle, you can move inside or move to the other side. On the defensive line, you'll have 6 to 8 guys rotate in, and the top backups will play almost as many snaps as the starters. Same way with linebackers. There's all kinds of ways you can get onto the field when you're ready. And so from a quarterback standpoint, I think it's a different discussion. A linebacker leaving, to me, that is inexplicable.
And he's got a tremendous future. I think really there's two things wrong with this transfer portal right now. Number one, it needs to have a time limit on it. They can't just float out there for as long as they want and test the waters. And number two, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, kids. If you decide to transfer, you better have a place to go, because college coaches are going to tell you your scholarship will not be renewed if you enter the transfer portal. So think long and hard about the decision you choose to make for the next 4 to 5 years.
Okay, so Tom, you brought up the idea of there should be some kind of time limit for the transfer portal.
Yeah.
So if you were going to make the rules, what is that time limit?
I think it's got to be somewhere between 48 and 72 hours where the kid has an opportunity to test the waters, figure out what his market value is if he has one. But we're allowing these kids to go into this transfer portal and just linger there. All the while, they've told their team and their coaching staff that they don't really want to be there. Yet that team and that university is still providing aid, still feeding them, still training them, providing them with academic services. And these universities now have to go figure out what they're going to do with their scholarships if this young man doesn't want to be there. I just think we've got to do something to at least put the kids in a position where they truly have thought it through. They don't just get disgruntled, Trevor. They don't just say, oh, well, I'm not happy because I'm not playing right away and I just want to leave right now. Make sure that they thought it through to educate themselves on the right decision.
Yeah, but Tom, I see that differently. I think the transfer portal should be able to remain open for a player a lot longer than just that, because it will take a long time for him to get his emotions settled, to get his search for a new school squared away, to see which schools will come to
him. But he should do that before. He should do that before, Trevor, before he enters.
Why does it matter if he does it before or does it now? What's the difference?
Because the university then is in a position where they've got to make a choice, and that choice may not include that young man anymore. So in telling the young man, hey, listen, before you enter the portal, be sure you want to do this. Because I'm telling you right now, if I'm a college coach, I'm telling that young man, you enter in there, I'm not renewing your scholarship. I've got to build a roster.
But Tom, whether he enters it before he's ready or whether he doesn't, whether the scholarship, or excuse me, the portal is open for 72 hours or whether it's open for an entire semester, he still can, before he declares his entry into that portal, do all the things you've talked about, no matter how long that portal is open. I think for me, the schools, I don't care if the schools have to pay him a scholarship while he's thinking about it. I don't think it should be indefinite, for goodness sake. Right now, the rule is that they have to give him his scholarship for the rest of that semester. For me, the big key is, will the school be penalized a scholarship if he doesn't leave until after the next signing date? So I think the NCAA should give schools a waiver for a player who is in the portal, where the school can declare that they are not going to allow him to keep his scholarship,
right,
and then get that back even if the signing date passes before he does leave.
I love that.
Well, you guys bring up a great point, because the coaches and staff now have to decide where we're going to move on to. So, Tom, you follow this recruiting so heavily now, and with what we're seeing with the amount of kids that are transferring, how has that changed how coaches are recruiting? And maybe if they see one of their top quarterbacks who's going to transfer, now needing to want to have a backup top quarterback even quicker than maybe a 2 or 3 years that we've seen in the past.
Well, maybe the single biggest change I've seen over the last couple of years is now programs are really, truly holding over scholarships that they're choosing not to use, either during the first period or the first Wednesday in February, so that during the spring or during the summer, they can be in the market for a potential transfer, for a grad transfer, and be able to scholarship that player immediately. So really, in years past, we didn't necessarily see coaches preparing to be on the open transfer market the way they are now. And I think that's what they're doing throughout the spring and the summer months. So maybe there's going to be some schools on Wednesday that have scholarships that they're not going to utilize for that very reason. And then they'll figure out what they want to do with those numbers and those scholarships moving forward.
And Tom, and I think that this is an area where it might hurt the group of five schools, because if you've got a group of five quarterback who wasn't offered by the Power Five school he wanted, shows up at the group of five and plays exceptionally well, he shows that he can play at this level, and all of a sudden the group of five school that wanted needs a quarterback because they had a couple guys transfer, now he can take off and go there. So I think there could be a flow from the smaller schools to the bigger schools in that scenario.
Well, tomorrow is National Signing Day, and we have big news out of Oxford as four-star quarterback John Rhys Plumlee flipped his commitment from Georgia to Ole Miss on Monday. So Alabama once again leads the way at the top of the class rankings, entering Wednesday's National Signing Day. The Crimson Tide are seeking their sixth top-ranked class in just 8 years. In fact, it's looking like a dominant day for the SEC as the conference holds the top three spots, which would be a first in the history of ESPN recruiting. So, Tom, will we see any shuffling around of the top five tomorrow?
I don't know if we're going to see a lot of that, because just outside of the top five, you may have a Tennessee that's not in contention to be top five if they were able to maybe flip George Pickens, a receiver from Auburn, or sign the offensive tackle Darnell Wright. I just don't know if there's enough significant pieces of the puzzle that would sign with one particular team all at once that would bump somebody out of the top five. Now, there may be some shuffling within that top five, but for somebody to crack it, I think we'd have to see some surprises tomorrow with some teams between 6 and 8 or so.
Let's see, a school like Tennessee doesn't have to be in the top five. They have to be better than they were. They're trying to get things turned around and rebuilt. And they've done a great job of placing the right kinds of recruits in there, including a couple of highly recruited junior college defensive linemen to help them at that spot right away. But I'm really interested, Tom, in Oregon right now, because the fact that they got the number one recruit in the country, Kayvon Thibodeau, defensive lineman out of California. I think a lot of eyeballs went up with other top recruits as to why he went there when he could have gone anywhere. And then they are the number one recruiting class in the conference. I think other recruits on the West Coast are looking at that saying, okay, there's USC, there's Washington, there's all kinds of... Oregon seems to be hot again. Why? And I think they'll be able to get into doors with credibility now because of how hot they are in this recruiting cycle.
Tom, we've seen so many of kind of the notable recruits sign early, but who's left, who's notable, uncommitted, that we should watch for tomorrow?
Well, we're going to have several that will end up signing on National Signing Day with our coverage here at ESPN. I think it starts off with the offensive tackle that I mentioned, Darnell Wright. Highly coveted, premium position. Those guys aren't growing on trees. He's certainly going to be one to watch. Jerrion Ealy was a one-time Ole Miss commit. He's a two-sport athlete, a high projected draft choice in baseball. He'll eventually have a decision that he's going to have to make. An in-state defensive tackle, Ismael Sosfer. He's a player that LSU has got to keep at home for two reasons. Obviously, he's an in-state kid, but he's also a defensive tackle where LSU needs immediate help along the defensive front. And I think Kyir Elam is a player that could play on either side of the ball, projects on defense and offense. So the more you can do, the more valuable you become. So there's enough high-profile names out there. They're going to make their mark for, you know, a class or two here and there. But really, with this second signing period, I'm starting to become more and more of a believer, guys, that this is about bottom or middle tier Power Five schools rounding out their classes and the group of five schools ending up building their classes. And there are going to be some great players that think they're in a Power Five situation right now are going to find out they're not. And a group of five schools is going to end up with some really good players in this class.
So that leads me to my next question. As fans sit around and they scroll through Twitter or watching on television, what fan base will be disappointed after tomorrow?
I think Florida State, because of what happened with John Rhys Plumlee, as we just talked about, they were a finalist. They need a quarterback. They don't have one in this class. They lost one in the early signing period, did not sign a quarterback in the 18 class, and then, of course, dismissed DeAndre Francois. Very curious to see what happens out west with both USC and UCLA. Those are the three programs, Florida State, USC, and UCLA. How they come out of Wednesday, I think, will really send a message going into the offseason, Trevor, about where the programs stand in the eyes of prospects. Because that's really what matters here. How are these programs perceived by the individual prospect?
Tom, I agree with you about Florida State. They look good on paper as we stand. I think they're the number two recruiting class in the ACC just to Clemson. But when you dig down deeper, you see a lot of terrific defensive recruits. But on offense, not so much. They need a lot of help on the offensive line. Now, they've got a four-star offensive lineman. That's nice. But other than that, not a lot of help for the O-line. Right. The cupboard is bare at quarterback outside of James Blackman. And I think that this recruiting class won't make this upcoming season's team better in Tallahassee because of that.
Well, this time tomorrow, Luke, you're going to be on, what, your 11th cup of coffee, making it through the day. We thank you so much for all your coverage that you'll have for us. Make sure to tune in tomorrow. Our National Signing Day coverage starts at noon Eastern on ESPN2. Coverage will continue at 2 on ESPNU, and we'll finish up here on College Football Live at ESPN2 at 4 p.m. Coming up, new Colorado coach Mel Tucker joins us next. We'll talk to him about his first signing day and what he's brought from the SEC to the Pac-12. That's coming up. Welcome back to College Football Live. Mel Tucker is set to become the 26th full-time head coach in Colorado's program history after he spent the previous three seasons behind the hedges at Georgia, building one of the nation's best defenses. Tucker also spent 10 years in the National Football League with three different teams. Thanks so much for joining us, Coach. I mean, besides the scenery there in Boulder, why did you choose Colorado?
Well, I tell you what, I was very impressed with the commitment to winning. We have brand new facilities, and the athletic director, Rick George, has done a great job in putting things in place to give us a chance to win. The administration is hungry. The fans are hungry. We have everything in place that we need, and recruiting is going well so far.
Coach, over the last few years, you have spent time recruiting in what I believe to be the most competitive recruiting environment in all of college football. As you move over to Boulder, how have you tried to instill some of those practices to give you guys an edge at Colorado now recruiting in the Pac-12?
I think the first thing is not to have any self-imposed limitations. Understand that we have a great university to sell, a great football program to sell, and we're going to go after the best players very aggressively. The other thing is that we understand here that we have to recruit every day. And there's not a day that goes by that we're not reaching out, building relationships with high school coaches, with parents, and with prospects.
Coach, there's more than one way to build a program. Some coaches will come in as a new head coach and go old school and hard nose. And some will come in and go completely high tech and want to use all the latest of the latest with the schemes and techniques. What's your plan to build Colorado to a champion?
You know, I'm more of a meat and potatoes, not so much French pastry. I think we have to do a great job of building a solid foundation, being with technique and fundamentals, playing smart, playing fast, and being relentlessly physical.
Coach, we've talked a lot on this show already today about the transfer portal. What are your thoughts on it?
You know, I think that's something that we have to embrace because it's here. And I've always believed that we have to do what's best for the student athlete. And so it's our job here to make sure our players have a good experience as students and as athletes, and make sure that they become, you know, better people on and off the field. And the portal is there for them. And so whatever I have to do to help our players here in Boulder, I'm going to do. And if the portal is part of it, then we'll have that conversation. But to me, it's whatever's best for the kid.
Coach, for the first signing period until now, obviously there are tremendous challenges as you're putting together a staff and you're getting acclimated to the environment. What have been some of the challenges that you have felt have been the most difficult maybe to deal with as we head to Wednesday, February 6th?
Well, I just think that, you just have to take everything in stride. I mean, I haven't had any real major issues, any real snags. I've done the coaching staff has come together nicely, which is really one of the more challenging things. But what I found, right away is that there were a tremendous amount of great football coaches who wanted to come to Boulder with me. And so we were able to put together a great staff. The players here, they really embraced myself and the coaches that I put in place. They're very hungry to get started, and the recruits have been very receptive to our culture and our way of doing things. So all the challenges have been good, and it's been very exciting.
Coach, when you talk about culture and your way of doing things, can you describe for fans, because we hear a lot about culture, but what is culture?
Right.
And how do you implement that culture into that locker room with those players?
Well, I think you want to make sure that you're very clear about how you want to do things, how you want to go about things, give them the why, and make sure that you let them know that it's all about love and discipline. And when you keep it simple that way, I think the players can understand it. I think the parents can understand it. I think everyone in administration can understand it. Love and passion for the game, love for our players, making sure that we care about them first as young men, off the field, love for our university. We have a great university here with tremendous tradition, great education, and then discipline. You know, we're going to do what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to do it, the way it's supposed to get done, on and off the field, and we reinforce those things every day. And so I think that's how you build culture. Everyone's on the same page, our administration, our players, our staff, our fans. And so it's a work in progress, but we will work very, very hard each and every day to develop our culture.
Coach, we know you got a busy day over the next 24 hours, so we thank you so much for taking some time out to join us, and good luck tomorrow.
Thanks, Coach.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Well, coming up, Tom Brady's agent says Trevor Lawrence is ready to play Pro Bowl right now. But do our guys agree? That's next. Saturday, March 2nd from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern on ABC, we'll be at the NFL Scouting Combine at Lucas Oil Stadium with special coverage of the quarterbacks, running backs, and receivers workouts. NFL Live will have reports that week on ESPN, and NFL Network will have their usual full coverage Tuesday through Monday. ESPN and ABC coverage will also be available on the ESPN app. And our latest ESPN 30 for 30 film titled Deion's Double Play is available on the ESPN app. Start your free trial today by downloading the app or visiting ESPNplus.com.
For the next 3 to 4 years, I'll be playing at Clemson University.
Catch as you're gonna see.
As we see, we're gonna need a good quarterback to come in with you.
Lawrence with the rush coming, touchdown.
So I'm writing down names, I'm making a list, I'm checking it twice, and I'm getting them hit.
Trevor's just physically
further along than any freshman quarterback.
But Justin Ross, off and running.
I'm all in my bag, as hard as it gets.
And Clemson strengthens its grip on this championship game. That kid cannot be 19 years old.
I roll with some fiends, I love him to death.
He looks like he's been there his whole life.
Dabo Swinney recruited you. What stood out to you about his message?
How involved he is with his players, and that means a lot because I want to have a great relationship with my head coach.
For any of them recruits out there, if you want to come to a program where you got to worry about your coach, I ought to be in the locker room. The answer, come to Death Valley.
Guys, you watch those highlights, and it's hard to believe that Trevor Lawrence was part of last year's signing day. But now Tom Brady's agent, David Lee, has offered the star Clemson quarterback a contract to play in the new Pacific Pro Football League. So, Trevor, I'm going to start with you. You're always the traditionalist. Would you like to see him play in the NFL sooner?
I'd like to see him play in the NFL whenever the NFL wants him and whenever he wants to go. I think most players, when they're young, like freshmen, sophomores, aren't ready physically or mentally to go to the league. But some guys are, and I don't like arbitrary rules that keep a guy down before he can exercise the maximum commercial effect of what his talents will allow him to do. I think he should be able to go whenever he thinks he's ready and whenever the NFL will accept it.
I would agree with you as it relates to the rare instances, Trevor, but the problem is we already have so many juniors, okay, and redshirt sophomores that are declaring early that have no business declaring early. So how do you separate the Trevor Lawrences of the world and others from making poor decisions? You know, he's a generational guy. He might be a once in every 15 year guy. Not everybody's like that. And let's also have some perspective. I think you would agree, Trevor, that it's a big leap. He's been remarkable, but that is a big, big leap. Remember, Jared Goff didn't even dress for his opener as a rookie with the Rams, and he was the number one overall pick.
You see, you're right about those people that declare early and shouldn't have and don't end up drafted, don't end up in the league. But I think we've got to err on the side of allowing players to make their own bad decisions. I mean, who am I to say then, okay, you think you're ready, I think you're not, so I'm going to tell you you can't go. You know, they do have counseling. They've got the NFL that will tell them where they might be drafted. They can make their own decision. But keep this in mind, too, that some guys will choose to go to the league not because they'll be a first-round draft choice, but because even if they're just on the practice squad, their family needs the money right now.
Sure.
So there's a lot of reasons.
Well, we thank you guys for joining us. You two, Trav and Lugs, go get your caffeine IVs ready because National Signing Day coverage starts tomorrow on ESPN2 at noon. Thanks for joining us. See you tomorrow.